So today, I want you to take a little time, and I want you all to take a little time to visualize in your mind the kingdom of God. Visualize, you know, we have this ability to make virtual realities. Think in your mind, what would the kingdom of God be like? A kingdom ruled by God, filled with joy. You know, think of something, you know, people have hobbies and things they've always loved. What would your kingdom, if you had control over it, be like? You know, if you try to close your mind or eyes and try to think of something, of what this world could be like, your mind has the ability to create all of this. You can create. It didn't exist. I had a wonderful world created. I just finished. It was ruled by God, and it had my own special new sport. But it didn't exist. I was not able to make that happen. The sport I created was something like handball, but played with squirrels. Simple movements of the hand launch squirrels into outer space. You can't explain how that happens. It just does. It's a wonderful sport. And I'm not cruel. I'm not unusual. Those squirrels had little mini spacesuits. They're fine. They have squirrel spacesuits. I'm in control of my virtual reality. Well, I got the kids laughing. I was in control of all of that. And yet I don't think it's weird. My idea, my virtual reality, did not happen when I closed my eyes, and dreamt it up. You know, our minds really are powerful engines that can create virtual realities. Like I said, when we visualize things like that, we don't have the power, just by thinking it, just by creating that in our minds, of making those things real. But our God, our Father, does. And when God said, "Let there be light," He didn't take it. Light existed at the moment God thought it, at the moment He spoke those words. His will controls the universe. It controls all matter. It allows us as physical beings to exist. God just thinking these thoughts come into existence. God just allowing us to exist allows us to be here in this world. Mankind denies that. They would always deny that because you can't prove it scientifically. But God's will permits us to be alive. And God wants to share that power with us. God wants to give or have us be part of His family and share in that power, being part of His family, members of His family. Which is why it is so important that we follow after His desires. That we have that desire to follow after His will. You know, this world would be in utter chaos if we had the power that God does in our minds, in our finite, ungodly minds, to create reality. There'd be squirrels zipping everywhere. And I tell you, they wouldn't all have squirrel suits like me. I am kind. Chaos would ensue. All these virtual realities, I'm sure there's science fiction books about this. Absolute chaos if mankind had the power to create reality based upon our thoughts. And yet that is what we're called, that is the type of power we are going to become when we become God beings. Well, we know God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. When we become part of His family, there won't be chaos. There will be controlled peace. We'll be focused. We won't have to worry about mankind and our finite brains, even if we had the best intentions of creating a reality like God did, we couldn't do it with our human brains. We would forget things. We would mess things up. One sin would cause reality to not exist, maybe. One thing we do, we don't have that ability, but we are called to be in a family that does. You know, picture that if our thoughts, everything we think about, came into reality. All of our desires came into being. You know, even with God's Spirit dwelling within us, we still fight against our human carnality. We still sin. Our minds are incredible, powerful machines. You know, we plan, we visualize, we desire things virtually in our minds. We dream up things, and then we try within our human beings' means to make them reality. We can dream these worlds up, but we can't yet make them reality like God's can, like God's family can. We have to, with our hands, with physical means, try to make our dreams, our reality, our virtual realities come true. You know, a particular event can take place, but perceived many different ways depending on how our minds are wired. Somebody sees an accident and 10 people witness it, there might be 10 different accounts of what happened in that accident. Maybe generally the same if two cars hitting, but there'll be differences. Our minds, based upon our realities of what we've seen so far, would see different things of that. That's why we have four Gospels. The same story told from four different perspectives. The same Spirit guiding all four of those authors. Your minds also have the ability to be upgraded to something more than that's physical. When God's Spirit dwells within us, we physically change. We become something new. We become something that we weren't before. Our minds are able to comprehend spiritual things. Not just the physical, but also spiritual. You know, mankind does, I'm not saying mankind doesn't understand what spirit means. Mankind doesn't understand God, though. Only with God's Spirit can we understand Him. They understand some parts of the spiritual realm, but mankind can only grasp that spiritual realm like they would grasp a hologram. It's only through God's Spirit that we can grasp and understand the spiritual realm and hold it. Consider it a thing of value, not a counterfeit. We have to think of God's Spirit, what He has given to us, as a real, tangible thing and something of value, something the world does not understand and does not value. You know, coming to an understanding of God and having the ability to receive, even to have His Spirit be part of us, requires a process. You know, we don't simply accept Jesus and have God's Spirit forever part of us, being forever part of God's plan, being forever saved. This process takes time. Understanding God's gift of His Holy Spirit takes time to understand. 1 John 5, starting in verse 19. Prove that we have been given this ability to understand. 1 John 5, starting in verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's interesting. We're talking about this great understanding we can have, and it's followed with, keep yourself away from these idols. Keep yourself away from these false ideas. You know, before a gift is given, that gift is given, a process has to take place. We must have already been preparing according to what God has set up for us, according to what God wants us to prepare for. We have to have been preparing prior to Him giving us His Spirit. We counsel for baptism. It isn't something that is just randomly given out. We have to go through a process in order to vet ourselves, in order to be counted worthy to take this Spirit, because once we have it, we are in danger of losing it. And that has to be our focus, that we are willing to give up anything so that we don't. You know, our mind is the conduit by which God speaks to us, by which He works through us. And He does this in stages individually and also for mankind as a whole. You know, in the Old Testament, we read of Him using dreams and visions to speak to His people. Today, we know He speaks through Christ. Hebrews 1, starting in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, the progress God took to communicate with His people to get to the point of our relationship took thousands of years. You know, it has some interesting parallels to sleep in general. And we're talking about people having visions. He used the prophets for their prophetic abilities to prophesy, to see visions. You know, visions and dreams, as we go through some of these scriptures today, took place mostly when people were sleeping. It's interesting maybe that we could look at how we sleep, maybe see some, draw some parallels out of that. Using some information from the sleepfoundation.org, there are 4 stages of sleep, and they alternate about every 90 minutes or so. Stage 1 is when we begin falling asleep, to when we're drifting. We're still awake somewhat, but we're drifting into a light sleep. Stage 2, we are sleeping. The heart, the breathing is regulated. The body temperature lowers. Our body is starting to get more prepared deeply or deeper into this process. Stages 3 and 4 are the deepest and most restorative states. Our muscles are relaxed. Our blood pressure drops. Our breathing slows. Tissue growth and repair occurs in our bodies. Energy is restored in our bodies. It's during this time that the REM stage occurs. While we're in this particular stage, which is about a fourth of this, which is about a, I don't know, maybe a 10 to 15 minute process, maybe. It provides energy to the brain and body during this REM stage. It supports daytime performance. The body is immobile and relaxed. The muscles are turned off. And more importantly, our brain is active and dreams occur. You know, at night, the hormone cortisol dips but increases during the night as we go through the night sleeping to promote alertness in the morning. You know, 1/3, this site quotes, 1/3 of our lives we spend sleeping. Far from being unproductive during this 1/3 of our life, it plays a role in how full, energetic, and successful the other 2/3 of our life will be. This 1/3 of our life determines how the rest of our life will be. You know, God prepared mankind for the birth of Christ, for the light of this world, for the light of day. He was a light. We are to be lights. You know, those preceding us prepared us for today. All of those prophets, all of those people that had visions, they all prepared this church. They prepared us to have this ability. They were preparing God's plan to be put into motion, and we are part of that plan. You know, as people, or you know, it's the reason that I quoted earlier why we don't have dreams and visions today. God speaks to us through His Son, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within each of us. But there will be a time in our near future when even prophesying, even visions will take place. In the latter days, Acts 2, starting in verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Absolute, undeniable power is going to be poured upon these people, on God's servants, on us. God's will is what's making this happen. We know that it's within His will when the end time comes. He will decide, and it will be. He will simply think it into being like He does anything, like He can with anything. And it's that kind of power that we're going to be part of in our future. And it's why the method of God building up mankind to this point is that we can handle that in power. Without the preparation of those who went before us, without the milk of the scripture being given before the meat, before the old covenant leading to the new covenant, without this preparation, we cannot handle what He has planned for us. And incredibly, this promise of joining the family of God is easy to obtain, in a manner of speaking. It only requires the right will and the willingness to submit to God. Easy, in a manner of speaking, if you're willing to submit yourself. Not much of the world is. And it's extremely difficult. We aren't limited in achieving this blessing by the amount of money we spend, by the amount of books we buy, by the souls we save by knocking on doors. And the rewards for submitting to God and forsaking this world today are beyond measuring. This finite mesh of electrical synapses cannot comprehend what God is planning for us. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9, for scripture you probably know I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Freely given to us. There is not a requirement other than a willingness to submit to God, a willingness to believe in His Son. And yet the world finds it almost impossible to do. That can only be achieved when we have God's Spirit working within us. So I want to spend a little time today looking at how God talks to us. Looking at some of the history of that, but looking at how God talks to man. In the past, God talked to His servants in order to further His path. And He typically used those people that were designated prophets to spread godly truth and to bring a pertinent message to His people. But He has spoken to others, not prophets, through dreams at some times, in order to fulfill to continue to fulfill his purpose, whether it was for his greater plan or just for particular individuals. Genesis 20, starting in verse 3. And sometimes he does it because it's those that are part of his plan aren't going the way they should. He has to reach out to others. Genesis 20, starting in verse 3, we'll read about Abimelech. The God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man, because the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech said, had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did not say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she, even she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." And God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all you who are yours." This prophet lied to this man, and God had to, through vision, quite literally probably wake him up and warn him about what he was getting close to doing. God used normal men, as showed there. He used them, some of them, to strengthen his servants. Judges 7. Starting in verse 13. Chapter 7, verse 13. "And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, 'I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell overturned and the tent collapsed.'" That's obvious what the next scripture, what this conclusion is by reading that. I mean, anybody could read that or read into it what the meaning is. "Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. And to his hand God has delivered Midian and all the whole camp.' And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.'" All from a loaf of bread. Well, obviously these men were inspired by God. First, to have this dream, and second, the ability to interpret it. But Gideon took that interpretation, took that episode, and walked away with it. Knew, went back to his encampment, and knew that it was a message from God. You know, God also talked to men possibly steeped in other religious beliefs in order to fulfill his plan. Let's jump to the New Testament, Matthew 2. Read about the birth of Christ. Matthew 2, and starting at verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and beheld, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." You know, all we know about the Magi is that they're wise men from the east, possibly Babylon, possibly Persian Empire. They looked for signs and studied the stars, so they might have had some form of astrology that they followed. And we know that Daniel 600 years in the past, was a prominent Babylonian person in the government. He prophesied of Christ in Daniel 9:24. He prophesied a lot of things, but he prophesied of Christ. So we could surmise maybe that because he was part of this government, maybe his prophecies stayed around. Maybe people looked to those prophecies. They used those prophecies. They followed those prophecies possibly and were waiting for them to be fulfilled. Whatever the case is, whatever and whoever these men truly were, God used them for his own purpose. They weren't quote-unquote prophets like some of the other men have been named. And we also know God used those without an understanding of his plan. Matthew 1. Starting in verse 18. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for his children, refusing to be comforted because there were no more. I'm sorry, Matthew 1 is starting verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him with his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Joseph had to be visited by an angel and told what was really happening. I mean, he didn't understand exactly what was taking place in that. It didn't seem physically, well, it obviously was not physically possible in a normal sense. It was the Holy Spirit's. It was God's presence. And later, after Jesus is born, and the Magi have visited, Matthew 2 and verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child with his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. And Joseph flees into Egypt based upon a dream, and he goes back into Nazareth based upon a dream given to him. And of course, God worked mightily through those who were called his prophets. At an early age, Joseph had prophetic dreams inspired by God, dreams that were just callous enough, at least to his brothers, to get him or to get them to hate him, sell him to slavery. And when he reached the prisons of Egypt, his prophetic abilities again opened up the kingdom of Egypt to him. And we can see why God put Joseph into that place of power, because he knew where true power emanated from. Genesis 40. We can read about one episode of Joseph. Genesis 40, and starting in verse 8. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them so that they were in custody for a while. And then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have a dream, or had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Joseph had God working with him, and he knew where that true interpretation came from. It didn't come from his own ideas, his own thoughts. It came from God. Eventually, a chapter over, Joseph made it before the Pharaoh. Genesis 41, starting in verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good, and behold, 7 thin heads blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed, it was a dream. And we know Joseph was finally called in to explain that to the Pharaoh. Explain what nobody else could. And those dreams of the Pharaoh, somebody not called by God, were, in fact, given to him, inspired by God. You know, God has so much that he wants to give to us. He just wants to see that we have the right intentions to use what he has given to us correctly. You know, nothing that he's going to give to us in this life, no riches, can compare to the, what the future holds for us. God gave Joseph worldly power, as he did Solomon, with the caveat that he plainly told Solomon, and one that Solomon didn't really follow through very well with. 1 Kings 3, Kings 3 and starting in verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give to you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, in an uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go in or come out. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for it is who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord. Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, you have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there is not been anything or anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." It took just a thought, and Solomon instantly had wisdom. That virtual ability that we don't have, of just thinking a thought, God and his son have. God's family has. Of course, we know Solomon didn't heed that warning his entire life. He did fall. He stumbled. But it's evidence that we must always and continually overcome. We can be given the greatest of wisdom, given the greatest of riches and reputation, but that will not stop us from stepping back, from forgetting God, losing the path that we should always stay on. Well, Daniel, like Joseph, we heard a little bit about him this morning, was given similar abilities by God. Daniel 1, and 17. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. In Daniel 2, reading more about his story and about some of his abilities, Daniel 2, and starting in verse 2, then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know that dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever, tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. And if you did the same thing with all of the astrologers and all the fortune tellers today, they would probably give you some of the same results. Nothing. All these people need to have, these magicians needed to have, well, tell me the dream, I'll tell you what we think you want to hear it means. Continuing, as proof of this, continuing in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king after they tried him again and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. So look, they're right on. They're actually correct there. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. So we should brush it. And so Daniel was, as we know the story, Daniel was summoned. And just touching on verse 23 of the same chapter, what did Daniel do when he was given this task? I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, asking for interpretation of his dream. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel always sought after where the true power was, where the true power of his abilities were. And he told the king the interpretation of his dream correctly. And we know Daniel had many other prophetic visions, many other dreams, many of which pointed to this end time, pointed to Christ himself. I mean, these visions and these dreams weren't limited simply to Old Testament examples, simply to the time when the prophets were speaking to the people. John and Paul had very, very notable dreams. John knew he was in a different state when he was given the visions of Revelation. In Revelation 1:10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. And then we go on to hear, and he writes down the revelation, the book of Revelation, this great prophetic vision that he was given. You know, these events were so overwhelming to their minds. Paul himself was having a hard time differentiating between what was dream and what was reality. 2 Corinthians 12. talking about Paul's vision when he was taken up to heaven. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Imagine what Paul saw. Paul was having a hard time imagining what he saw. It was beyond. He heard sounds that were beyond human utterance. He saw visions that stayed with him. He had a thorn in his side because of those visions. He had something, because he saw such great visions, God put that thorn in his side. You know, even with God's Spirit, our physical minds fail to fully grasp the essence of the spiritual realm. But that is not something we should worry about. That will be taken care of. We will have that understanding when God transforms us, when we become spirit. What we have to worry about is being given the opportunity to be changed. Let's not worry about what's going to happen, how we're going to figure that out later. Let's figure out how we're going to be changed first, and that be our focus. And what is really interesting to me is looking at all these and many other examples in the Bible is that these people never blinked an eye in these visions. I mean, quite literally, they're asleep. They never blinked an eye and their eyes were closed. They assumed those dreams was actually God talking to them. When Joseph was told to take up his wife, when he was told to marry his pregnant wife, he didn't question it. He didn't ask for clarification. He did it. All of these people had these visions and these dreams. They were so impacting for some reason that they didn't question. They knew this comes from God. This vision, this dream has come from God. I'm going to follow it. But rightly so. They did correctly. What about us? I mean, we have bad dreams. We have good dreams. What do we think after one of those? If I have a bad dream about a Facebook post, it's probably the spicy nachos I had the night before that's causing me that. If I had a dream telling me to move my family, or marry a girl somehow became pregnant not by me right before our marriage, I would still attribute it to the spicy nachos. I would not consider me having a dream and a vision like that as being from God. These people didn't question that validity. They knew that what they experienced was coming from God. Having ears to hear and faith to obey has to be inspired by God as well. Has to be given to us, that ability, by God. The natural man has a vision, has a dream, and they come up with many, many different types of interpretations. You know, many have given up even truly trying or in any matter trying to listen to God. They've allowed themselves to be led astray by Satan, by his doctrines. So I also want to look at how man talks about God or to God, basically a God of his own making. On his own and without God's Spirit directing him. You know, if we aren't being led by God's Spirit, there's only one other option that we can be, that we're being led by. And without God, we are told what the true state of man's mind is. Genesis 6. In verse 5. Genesis 6 and starting in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's a really wordy statement, but pretty much man thinks evil always without the guiding force of God's Spirit in his life. You know, there's no shortage of material on the websites about helping you interpret your dreams. Voluminous amounts of books published, lots and lots of websites. I picked what I thought would be a very appropriate one called dreambible.com. Because it has the Bible in it, it has to have some validity. They start off, "Welcome to the Dream Bible, a free online A to Z dream dictionary dedicated to helping people understand the meaning of their dreams. Unlike other dream interpretation websites or books, we extensively research dream symbols by interviewing people about the events occurring in their lives at the time of their dreams." So they're already taking a dig in all the rest of the people that don't know anything. These folks must be for real. They have a list of reoccurring dreams of snakes. They say the symbolism of snake can be either positive or negative, depending on your feelings towards the snake. They do get the award for being the best Captain Obvious on the internet. There is a symbolism for Facebook dreams. To dream of Facebook represents an experience in life where you are becoming more aware of yourself. The reason for this is because Facebook is used to build connections to everybody you've ever known. And in dreams, people are aspects of your own personality. Negatively, Facebook may represent an experience in your life you're having where no one cares about what you're thinking or are behaving in a manner that is focused more on yourself. That's actually spot on. That is the truth. I found at least one thing that was right. This site even lists other methods to enhance your dreams. Through diet and even through psychotropic drugs. You know, within here they also recommended a site that sells vacation retreats to Brazil. And they use the most psychotropic of hallucinogens, which are illegal in most countries. I think it's used by the Amazonian rainforest tribes or something. But looking on this site, so I just couldn't stop. It was just like watching a wreck. Somebody talking about this tea, and I guess you go to this, you have a licensed psychotherapist, I don't know what that means, and they guide you through this experience. So you drink some sort of tea. When you ingest this tea and go on your spiritual dream revision quest, you can expect the spirit of Ayahuasca, which is the root they use. I think the root that you drink has a spirit. The spirit of Ayahuasca has a very strong presence and seems to open a doorway into an unfathomable and infinite reality that the human thinking mind is unable to easily comprehend. Visions and feelings amongst a sea of interspecies and interdimensional beings is commonly reported. So yeah, if you go to a place like dreambible.com, seems like a pretty solid place to get your information and your interpretations of dreams. This all leads down the same path. Trying to interpret dreams like this is not something given to man. No matter how funny, how much it feels like just a simple Ouija board game, it's nothing new. Mankind has been going towards this since we were created, because Satan has been influencing us since we were created. You know, Saul had everything going for him. He was appointed by God. He knew God to some degree, and yet he threw all of that away when the times got tough. 1 Samuel 28. Samuel 28, starting in verse 3. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city, and Saul had put the mediums and the spiritualists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And a servant said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Dur." It didn't take him long to completely throw everything that he had been given away and go after that same kind of person who sits in the middle of that Brazilian rainforest and drinks hallucinogenic tea. They're no different. They're both inspired by the same being. You know, we likewise can be in the same kind of spiritual place, growing, but when trials show up, and trials show up when we're not expecting them, the true intents of our heart will be shown. Are we going to flee? Are we going to give in? Or are we going to stay true to what we believe in, what God has shown us? You know, the net result of man seeking after God on their own terms is to lead us away from God. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, starting at verse 1. "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he has gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you should not listen to the words of that prophet or of the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst." Now, this is a serious enough offense that these people were to be killed, to be removed from Israel's, from even the country. But we see what happens. They just kept creeping back in. Israel allowed this outlook, this mentality, to keep creeping back into their lives. This was an issue in Jeremiah's time as well. Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 25. Jeremiah 23 and starting at verse 25. "I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed and have dreamed. I have dreamed.' How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my peoples forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their friends forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor." You know, Jeremiah had to fight. This must have been a big enough deal in chapter 29. He also is getting after the peoples to not listen to these false diviners. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 8. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed." Don't let these people even divine your dreams. Don't let them explain to you what your dreams mean. "For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's the danger. Any little bit of this, even something simple, is having your dreams interpreted by a website. It will lead to incorrect conclusions, and ultimately will lead us away from God. You know, God spoke to his people through his prophets. As I said, today we have this book. We have the Bible speaking to us. Christ's words leading us. Well, Christ gave us a stern warning showing how big this divide is between the old method and the new. Matthew 5. How important it is for us to internalize this message and this way of life. Matthew 5, starting at verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, we can create chaos in our minds very easily. We create that chaos in our minds when we refuse and we deny the power of God. And we don't want him to reside within us. When we push him out and pull in all of these worldly ideas. Christ understands the potential of our minds that our minds have to house God's Spirit. He created us. He was the... All that was created was created through him. He understands what we go through. He understood what he was going through when he was here. He knows what it takes to destroy that ability as well. You know, we have been warned through God's prophets and through Christ himself what to avoid and what to cherish. Our thoughts have power, power to enable us or disable our eternal existence. Brethren, in everything we do then, we must guard our minds, guard this precious gift that is our eternal future.